place Tuesdays from 6 to 8 at Paiseki Altus Family Center on 52nd Street. Dial 605-6722 for more.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified Administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the Teacher Education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an Associate Professor of Education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current Special Education Support Volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the Special Education Department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, I'm John Nicholson. Welcome to Education Matters. Today, I am in the Directing Principal's Office at Washington Park High School in Racine, and we are going to be discussing with Dennis Christensen, the principal, various matters concerning school safety. And the purpose of our conversation today is just to outline procedures, not to talk about examples or anything like that. And I know that I'm in a good place because I just saw a staff shout out for Dennis on the wall out in the reception area, congratulating him and acknowledging him for working hard to keep the school safe. So Dennis, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for coming in to meet with me today, John. I look forward to the conversation here.
Okay, Dennis, I'd like to start by asking you to give us a little background about yourself, you know, your education experience, your work experience up to this date, and your relationship so far with Park High School.
Well, I have been in the area of education for approximately 12 years. I served as a teacher as well as a department chairperson in the area of special education. And then here at Park High School, I've served as a subschool principal in the Blue School as a scheduler. And then I've been in the directing role here at Park High School since about October of 2012.
And you're having good experiences here at Park High School?
I'm having a wonderful experience here at Park High School. Park High School in the Racine community is truly a historic, iconic place in terms of all of the people that have passed through the halls here and all of the wonderful things that Park alumni have done, continue to do, and I know from the students going through here will do in the future as well. So it's a very wonderful place.
Thank you for all that. I appreciate that. We're going to talk about school safety, and we're going to focus on Park High School pretty much today, but I wonder if we could begin by asking you to give us an idea about Racine Unified School District's goals and objectives in the area of school safety.
Well, when we talk about the district and all the buildings, the number one priority of the district is really to make sure that we create and maintain a safe learning environment for all students so all students can be successful.
Okay, so teaching and learning is the ultimate objective?
Absolutely. Teaching and learning is the ultimate objective, and the environment to which that goes on to a safe, secure, warm, comfortable environment is really a key part of that process.
Racine Unified drives this program. Does the district provide schools in general with guidelines or programs that you can use to help keep the schools safe?
Yes, they do. Guidelines are provided, and these guidelines come from the district, and they're worked out in cooperation with local authorities so that there's very detailed programs and plans that schools can be using to make sure that they have a safe working environment for the students and the staff.
And do you, as directing principal, and does your staff have the opportunity to modify the general guidelines to fit this school's needs?
Yeah, every building has some unique needs in terms of the facilities and the size of the staff. So, using the guidelines that come from the district, we work here in the building, and you know, specifically working from Park High School. When I think of how we work our safety and security, every year during the summer, when we review every summer the district safety and security guidelines, and then we take a look at our building and we bring those into our building. We do so as an administrative team. We also do that with what we call our safety response team, as well as ongoing practice with the staff. Every week we meet as an administrative team. As part of that, it's the administrators as well as a liaison officer, and we talk about our safety procedures and we go through them on a regular basis. Our safety response team is a team that meets monthly, where we continue to go over the procedures, and we talk about are they appropriate, are they in place, are we maintaining them. So it's kind of that ongoing thing, and it's all based upon safety and security guidelines and procedures that do come from the central office.
Okay, we'll come back to that safety response team in just a few moments, but let you give me an idea and the audience an idea of the, you know, the demographics of the school population, number of staff members, and so on. And I know we're going to talk about the campus security teams later on, but just in terms of teaching staff and student body, things like that.
Yeah. Park High School this year, we're approximately a student population of about 600 or 1,600 students and approximately 220 professional staff, including teachers, hall assistants, educational assistants, and administrators. So we're a fairly large building, and Park High School itself is a fairly large, comprehensive high school facility. Three-floor building, a theater, auditorium areas, arts, technology, as well as a large field house. So it's a very comprehensive building as well.
Do you think that the student population of Park High School is representative in general of the community at large, you know, the city of Racine, Racine Unified School District?
I think of us as being very representative. Park High School still remains a community, a centrally located community school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the attendance area then contains pretty much a representation of the community at large. We're not just focused on one, you know, one socioeconomic group, one particular specific neighborhood in the city.
No, not at all. I think when in terms of representing the city in terms of socioeconomic, race, and culture, we're very diverse and a very balanced building.
I think the purpose in asking these questions is to follow up with another question. Would you say that this is analogous, Park High School is analogous in population to, say, a small town, maybe smaller than Sturtevant or a village like that?
That's a great way to look at it. When I think of having 1,600 students and then add another 200-plus staff, I mean, we're larger, in this footprint of this building, we're larger than many small communities in the state of Wisconsin. And when we talk about that in safety and security, that comes into play when we think about, as a community, we are a community.
So is it safe to say that it's reasonable that we would expect the same kind of security measures in Park High School as one might expect in a small town?
Sure. You want to make sure that you have a safe town, that you have procedures in place for that when emergencies happen, that you're prepared, trained, and ready to respond to those as effectively and as efficiently as possible. So, sure.
Very good. Thank you. Let's go back and talk about that safety response team. Tell me the membership, the makeup of that team, and how in a day-to-day or in some specific examples it operates.
Well, the safety response team is a team made up of administrators, guidance counselors, and teachers. And the purpose of that team is we meet on a monthly basis. And again, we review our safety and procedural protocols. We may discuss incidents if there were incidents that happened, to kind of debrief them and walk through them to find out what worked or what may need an improvement. And that's an ongoing process, because you're never done addressing safety and security, because you're always taking a look at it and debriefing that. And we do that once a month. And that also is very key to what we do with the administrative team meeting, where we also go over those same things on a weekly basis. And we talk about our fire drills, our lockdown drills, our procedures, how we move students, all the different, we talk about all the different variables, and there's many variables that go into any type of a situation. So we try to, you know, continue to always build on what we know.
Okay. So this is a staff group. Does the group have any special training? I mean, do you choose people for their various skills, or is this just a general mix of the staff?
A lot of the staff that are on this are on it as they volunteer, as they want to be part of that process. And I think that is important, because anytime we're talking safety and security, we want people to engage in that, because, you know, the safety of the community always comes down to beginning each person and how we respond. There are staff on board that are trained in CPR as well as first aid as well, who are part of that safety response team.
Okay, thank you. I'm interested in Park High School's day-to-day safety operations, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell me about the makeup of your security staff, first of all.
I look at building safety and security in a couple ways. And the first way I take a look at it is I take a look at it in terms of making sure that we foster a safe environment. And that starts with the relationships that the adults in the building foster with the students. A key part of that is our PBIS program, Positive Behavior Intervention Strategies, in which we want to focus on improving students' participation and behavior here in the building and working with students to help them learn, you know, key behaviors in terms of how do we make this a very safe and secure building, starting at and creating a culture and an atmosphere that welcomes students.
Well, let me just interrupt. What are the components, the basic components of the PBIS at Park High School?
When we talk about PBIS, we want students to be here, to be safe, to be responsible, and to be respectful. And those four founding principles are very key to creating a safe and secure environment, because those are the principles that we look for when people become, as they go into adults and be part members of society on even a greater level. What are the expectations of being a safe student here in the building? And it could be as basic as walking the halls in a fairly organized fashion. Mm-hmm. It could be reporting concerns to administrators so they can be addressed. But it's those founding behaviors, those positive behaviors that we want all students to really learn, develop, and take ownership of.
I heard the respect word, and I have a good feeling for that. But tell me how you use respect in relationship to developing a safe, secure environment here at Park.
We use the motto, to get respect, you have to give respect. And when people have established relationships with one another, when there are challenges, people tend to work together better, work together in a much more calm, organized fashion.
Now, does this refer to student-student respect or overall respect in terms of everybody and the staff and the student, you know, your total school population to each other?
Absolutely, the entire building population, student to student, staff to student, student to staff, staff to staff.
Do you find that students are working at applying this? Let me begin that with another question. How long has this specific PBS been in operation here at Park, and do you find that, as you refer to this, that students are making an effort to apply it in their school lives?
I think it is. When we talk respect, we really have two programs that really focus on respect. We have PBIS, which works on working on developing the behaviors, mm-hmm. That are going to help students and adults to continue to develop relationships. We are in our third year of PBIS, and PBIS is a phased program that we are in. We're in the process of looking to move to phase two, which is to take it to the next step, mm-hmm. which means that we are working on a very daily basis to improve and to move along with that program. One of the other programs that we do here is we have what are called Respect Tuesdays, in which we make sure that, you know, the staff generally wear Respect T-shirts, and it talks about that to give it, you know, give it, get it, got it, mm-hmm. in terms of that we have to continue to remember that we have to, that it's a cycle. We have to give respect to get respect back. So that's some of those social skills, those soft skills, but they're very key to building safety and security, because it all goes back to that relationship piece.
Is your PBIS specific to Park High School, or was this PBIS driven by the district?
This is not just Park High School. It's at all the high schools, and it's at schools across the district as well as schools across the state. Mm-hmm. And it is part of a DPI program to help, you know, build cultures of safe learning climates within the buildings across the state.
The thing that impresses me in our discussion is that you did not talk about people. We'll get to that. You did not talk about security devices or anything like that. You talked about relationships. Without mentioning names or anything like that, can you give me an example of how respect, either student-student respect or student-staff respect, has made a difference here in the overall culture of the school for safety, security, teaching, and learning?
When I think of student-to-student, we're talking about young people, and social skills are developing as, mm-hmm. as they learn to develop in respect to work with their peers. We want to see a reduction, and we have seen reductions in how students handle situations, negative situations that could possibly become even more concerning. But mm-hmm. the ability to develop those skills at that student level to handle peer situations before they become a safety or security issue. We've seen, it's a tough thing, and I admit it's a tough thing for students sometimes to share things that they see or hear with adults.
Mm-hmm.
But students do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a trust relationship piece there, and not just that it's a teacher or administrator, but it's a young person to an adult, and trusting that they're really, in some ways, they put themselves out to bring something that they saw. But that it's a responsible piece, it's a safe piece, it's being a respectful piece to make adults aware of things that the students may see.
And all of this appears to be, if you look at it, it appears to the outsider perhaps to be completely outside of the area of school safety. When you think of safety, you think of stuff and you think of specific people. And in terms of categorizing, where in the element, the total safety program would you rate the business of respect in terms of, everything else that we're going to talk about in the next few minutes?
I guess I would say it's equal to other parts of safety programs, the planning, the preparation, mm-hmm. the establishing of the roles, and some of the infrastructure that may be as part of a building. But when in a school building, it's people,
mm-hmm.
It's adults and young people, and it's a key piece.
Thank you very much. Let's talk about specific duties, specific people. Tell me the makeup of your campus security staff at this point.
Campus security is really it's the responsibility of everybody in this building.
Okay.
And I go just as general as all the adults in the building. We all play a role, mm-hmm. in campus security, because we're in the building. We see what goes on in the building. We're visible, and we're working with people. So we all have a key role to play,
okay.
whether we're out front on a supervision duty after school for buses or we're on a hall duty. Everybody has a role in that. Some of the specific groups is we have that we have in the building, we have administrators, and one of their key daily responsibilities is to ensure and to manage building safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a number of hall assistants, educational assistants,
mm-hmm.
who their primary responsibility is visibility in the hallways, working with students, helping to get where they need to be, supporting us in monitoring a safe environment, observing for things that might be a concern, and being really visible in terms of being in the hallways and communicating concerns. We also have a number of off-duty police officers who play another role in our building safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
Liaison officers, Racine Police Officers. Racine Unified has had a very outstanding relationship with the Racine Police Department in terms of having these off-duty officers in the building. And, in terms of kind of going back to our initial conversation, one of the big pieces of that is that relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
These are liaison officers making the connection from the community to the building and the building back to the community. And then we've also got security infrastructures in terms of, monitoring access to the building,
mm-hmm.
security cameras, and some other structures in place to add as part of that.
Thinking about your hall monitors now, do they have specific duties? Do they have specific stations that they supervise, or are they just around the school?
Both.
Okay.
In terms of being very flexible, in terms of staffing, we have staff that are hall assistants that are staffed at some of the more high traffic areas.
Mm-hmm.
We also have staff that float or move around so that there's a proximity to certain areas. But we're very flexible with that.
Do the hall monitors? I want to go back to the respect business,
mm-hmm.
because I feel that's such a big part of society as a whole. Tell me the kind of things that a hall monitor might do to develop a relationship with students, especially when you think that the kids that are kind of on the edge might think there's a little hostility here, that they're watching me and they're against me and so forth.
Our hall assistants, you know, here, and I speak for Park, but I think I can speak from, you know, just outside of Park, is our hall assistants have developed really, really strong relationships with a large portion of the student body. They see the students, they interact with them hourly in terms of passing time. They're out there and about. They're reminding the students to get to class, to be on time, and to be successful. You know, they provide support and guidance. You know, they respond to things, and they help. You know, they're there to help students make good choices when it's apparent that, you know, the student may not know what a good choice may be. They're helped to help provide guidance. So our hall assistants really do know the students, and they know not just groups of them, but they know, I mean, it's good to say they know most of the entire student body, if not by face, by name, but and they have strong relationships there. And that's just another adult in the building that students can go to. And it's another person in the building that can help provide that supervision piece.
Okay, so you know, we're coming back again to the business of relationships, and you're saying that they work at it, do you feel that this is innate in their personal makeup, or it's because you say to them, if you want to be a good hall monitor, you have to supervise, you have to not only supervise, but you have to relate to kids? This is just a what do you think?
Yeah, you have to relate to students, and you gotta, you know, I think anything is a profession of working with people, and I think, you know, that relationship piece here is key, and there are some very strong relationships. That whole safety and security piece, you know, kind of falls back on that.
Okay, let's go talk about the police officers. Do you select the officers is there a selection process for the officers that you have working here, or is it just selected by the police department, or is there some other process for getting specific people into this school to work as your liaisons?
That is the officer piece is worked on with central office. Mm-hmm. The really neat thing about the officers here at Park High School is so many of them, and I think other high schools can say the same, is so many of them are Park graduates.
Oh, really?
Park High School, you know, they go into service with the city, and they're drawn back here to Park High School. Mm-hmm. So a number of them are Park graduates, and they come back here to serve, and that's a key piece too, because they want to be here and they want to be working with the students, And again, they're creating bonds, community policing. They're creating bonds with the students that they may have interactions with here in the building, and they also know students in the community. And that's an important bond to be making. So, in a lot of ways, I think, you know, Park High School is a place of choice to come in and work for a lot of our police officers.
And you feel they spend more time on the positive relationship activities than they do in enforcement activities in the school?
Absolutely. They have the opportunity to build relationships with people that they see during the day and then outside of the school, and I think that's a very important piece. And Racine Unified, I think, has really worked to make sure that our community connections are strong, and that, you know, they have professional roles, but they also have that connection piece to the community.
Coming to the specific duties of the police officers, how does their role in terms of safety and security differ from that of the hall monitors?
I think they serve a lot of the same hall supervision functions and duties. They work, they work very close with us in terms of helping to establish, to make sure that our procedures are appropriate and effective. They work with us in developing relationships with students. They help us to identify possible concerns before they become a safety and security matter. And I think, you know, and that's I think the role of all the staff is to be proactive in terms of identifying concerns before they become an issue.
Okay. Now, if a student gets into a situation where the student might be and I don't want to get into any specific examples here, but if a student gets into a situation where that student might be apprehended or ticketed out in the community, could the same thing happen in the school?
The officers that work in the building do have their police authority that okay. when they come into the building. So they do have the ability to ticket and to do their law enforcement role should that be deemed necessary.
Okay. So their authority basically doesn't change when they come in here. They have the same authority in the building that they have, say, out on the street.
Yeah, they have that the same civic authority that they would have.
How do the hall monitors and you and the police officers communicate with each other on a day-to-day?
We communicate in a number of ways. I think the number one way that we do is when we meet regularly on an ongoing basis. We're also connected via communication, via radios, face-to-face conversation. And the key, again, there is prompt and immediate, you know, having conversations to address things.
Now, we mentioned security cameras. Why don't you tell me the layout, the history of school security cameras in the district, how they're set up throughout the building, and how you use them.
We have a number of cameras, both internal and external, within the buildings. And what it allows us to do is it allows us just another means of being able to follow up on an incident if something happens so that we can go back to investigate it. You know, the key piece there is just giving us another opportunity to find out what happened as we follow up on a situation. The cameras have been in this building as long as I have been here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, you know, prior to me, but as long as I have been here, they have been in the building, and they serve a very important tool in terms of investigating situations when they do happen.
Let me ask you a question that I understand back in the day, candidates for your job were asked. Does the presence of police officers in the building mean that it's a safe school, or does it mean that things are so bad that you have to have police officers in there to get it calmed down? This is a what do you think question.
I don't think it means that police officers in schools are there because of out of necessity or reflect anything on that building culture. I think officers in building, it allows a connection between the community and the school and that relationship. It does add an extra level of safety and security, absolutely. I mean, that's an inherent piece of it. But I don't know that it doesn't, you know, whether it's a suburban, urban, or rural school district, there are liaison officers, you know, I would say in many districts across the state of Wisconsin. And it's not just an urban, rural, or
Okay, that's, well, you know, that goes back to one of the earlier questions. You know, does this park reflect a community? And you said yes. Mm-hmm. And so a community has officers of the law that protect the population and work towards overall safety. So, okay, let's go talk about some universal safety operations that are in effect throughout the school district and how they work at Park High School. And, you know, to give the audience a cue here, we did have a list of questions that we're working off of, so I'm just going to let Dennis kind of go through these one at a time and talk about what triggers the event, what the logistics are, and what kind of follow-up you do. So why don't we start right off with what I think all of us who have been through school know is the fire drill.
Yeah, just to kind of, the most, you know, safety and security is a pretty wide-ranging list of possible events, but the most common, you know, specific ones are fire drills, tornado or inclement weather drills, and then drills related to securing the building, such as a shelter in place or a lockdown. Fire drills, because of the number of people that we have in this building, are very important. The state requires that buildings conduct 10 fire drills a year, and that's really one every month that, that students are in attendance in the building. And we try to adhere to that. Very important drill. We also conduct inclement weather or tornado drills and prepare for. In Wisconsin, we know that there at any time of the year, the possibility for an inclement weather situation is a reality. And then we have shelter in place and lockdown drills. And those are drills that we practice so that in an event that we need to clear the hallways or to secure the building in the case of a situation, that there's a controlled method to doing that to ensure the safety of the occupants.
Are these plans all in writing so the staff becomes intimately familiar with them? And do you refer to them? Do the students have knowledge about them in advance?
Yeah. At the beginning of each year, staff receive a Park High School staff handbook. Mm-hmm. And within that, it outlines very specific, clear instructions on the procedures, how to put them into place, where they may need to go in case there's specific requirements to have to relocate, but a very step-by-step piece. Throughout the course of the year, we train on those, we practice those, and if need be, we adjust those. We also have the teachers work with the students in the classroom because students need to have the same awareness of the procedures so that when there is a drill or an actual situation that they know what is expected of them, the behavior, the actions, and the procedures as well. So really, we look to have all levels trained, knowledgeable of the procedures, and how to follow through them should they be asked to do so.
So the practice, if we had to, and we hope we never have to do any of those, but if we have to do a real fire evacuation, they're ready because they've been through it. Staff members have specific locations to report to and all of that. Just so if it happens, you don't really have to think about it. You just go.
When an emergency happens, training is key because that is a preparation so that when the real emergency happens, we're not scrambling to figure out what to do. We're just doing it by automaticity. We're doing it because we know what the procedure is, where we need to go, how do we regroup, and how do we make sure that we use the media time to, you know, time is of the essence in a situation, but to do it in a calm, orderly fashion.
Asking for a general response here, I think the most extensive procedure would be the long-term evacuation. Can you give me a brief idea about, you know, the organizational plans and the logistics you might have for that should you have to do it? I'm not talking about a situation of violence, but let's just say that some of your utilities go down or there's a situation in the community where the school might not be safe, you know, for air quality or something like that. How do you work a long-term evacuation?
We have plans in place that should there be a situation to which we had to remove all the occupants from the building. And a couple of the key things that are part of those plans is one, once it's been determined that the occupants of the building have to leave, where do they go? Mm-hmm. And we work with the community to have several sites in terms of where Park High School staff and students would have to relocate to get them to a secure and safe area. So we've worked with local areas that have the ability to take a large number of people in a short time so that we would have safe destinations to evacuate to. So we work those out with the community, and we have procedures in the building so that certain locations of the building know which way to exit and to which location they're going to go to. The other key part of that is what happens once we get to those locations, kind of the relocation part to make sure that that we know that our students are with us, that we have an understanding of any particular needs that may be. And then we have to go through the process of will we be able to go back to the building or not? And if not, how do we relocate with families and to reunite there? Those processes are a big process, and it's done in collaboration with the local emergency police and fire agencies, as well as with the school district central office support.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm aware that you had a rather significant drill back in December, sort of a double drill. Would you like to review that as much as you can? And I'm speaking in generalities here. We don't need to know the nuts and bolts of every specific thing. But what was the purpose of that drill, and how did it work? And generally, what findings did you gather from that?
In December, we had a lockdown drill. It was a full drill in terms of we wanted to make sure that the procedures were in place and followed in terms of securing the building for all its occupants. So as part of that program, we did a lockdown, and then we transitioned from a lockdown in which all classrooms and instructional areas in essentially the perimeter of the building was secured. We transitioned into what is a shelter in place, mm-hmm. in which we still maintain a secured building, but instructional activities in the classroom are allowed to continue on with little traffic. Mm-hmm. During that time, we also conducted a sweep of the building, working in conjunction with local law enforcement canine units, mm-hmm. in which we did a sweep of the building looking for any type of illegal substance mm-hmm. that may be in the building.
And how did that work out? How many officers, how many dogs did you have?
During that day, I want to say we had approximately 10 dogs in the building mm-hmm. that day, and each dog is accompanied with a handler, mm-hmm. so with an officer.
How long did this practice occur? I mean, what was the time length from the time you initiated it to the time you said we're ready to go back?
The entire process before the next bell happened in less than an instructional period of approximately 50 minutes.
Would you be willing to talk about any of your findings as to any concerns that you identified or anything that worked really well during this drill?
Well, when we go through the drill, we conduct a drill and we look for opportunities to find out if there's any practices related to the drills that we need to work on to make sure our doors secure, our classroom secure. Mm-hmm. We debrief that after the drill was done so that we can follow up as part of making sure that we're consistent with it. And it also allows us the opportunity to prepare for, to maintain being active mm-hmm. in terms of being readiness.
Did you get any feedback from staff? Was this an announced thing? Did you tell the staff in advance that you were going to do this, or was this just on the spur of the moment and they weren't expecting it?
It was an unannounced drill.
Okay. What kind of feedback did you get from the staff and or the student body?
In terms of feedback on how the drill went, we get feedback and we sort through that. Okay. In terms of the staff is very supportive of when we do drills, mm-hmm. and in particular because he knows we're putting an emphasis to make sure that we keep that learning environment safe.
Mm-hmm. I want to lead to a couple of concluding questions here in the time we got left, but I came in here this morning as a guest, and the first thing I did was come to the door that had the camera and the button, and I pushed the button, and the door opened, and the first gentleman I saw was sitting in front of Joan of Arc. And he said, "Good morning, may I help you?" And I told him what I wanted, and I came into the office, and I was greeted, "Good morning, may I help you?" I signed in as a guest, wanted them to know that I wanted to see you, and they checked and said, "He'll be with you in a minute." And I want to thank you for the absolute 100% courteous response I received from the people with whom I interacted. I mean, the door opened right away. The gentleman at Joan of Arc was courteous. The two ladies in the main office were courteous. And I'm appreciative of that. This is what students or visitors to the school can expect when they come here. So I thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with me. This is a public building, and it's an educational building that we want people to be welcome to come in and mm-hmm. to be a part of Park High School. But you made some very clear mentions of one of the first steps in safety and security, and that's understanding who is in the building, what their purpose is, and how can we support that. And mm-hmm. And that's a key piece because of a building the size is you want to know where and when people are coming in and what the purpose is. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sharing it with me. That's important feedback.
Okay. Let's assume now that I'm a parent of an eighth grader, and my eighth grader is coming to Park High School, and let's just say that I'm not one of the alumni of Park High School. I came in from out of the city, or I grew up in here and went to some other school, and my eighth grader and I are concerned because you hear all these stories, and I'm going to call you and you're going to talk to me and give me the kind of advice that you would give a parent about how their child can stay safe in school here and can work on being an effective learner and contributor to the school.
I think the first thing I would say is I'll reiterate that we do our best, both the district as well as here at Park High School, mm-hmm. to make sure that we maintain that safe learning environment that we talk about, because mm-hmm. that's the key thing. I encourage parents to make sure that they have relationships with their students in terms of being open, that they can share things that they see or experience mm-hmm. With them as they make that transition to the high school, because that honesty and sharing piece of what they see can be very important. It may be something that we as a building need to know about, that communication piece, that as a building we're going to address the concerns that come up, that we're going to be forthright and that we communicate how we do things and communicate after, if something does occur, that we communicate and that we have honest communication and share that information with parents as well. Mm-hmm. And to urge the students that this is a community for them mm-hmm. and that they play a key role in that safety and security, to please share their experiences or their concerns with an adult. It could be an administrator, it could be a hall assistant, it could be a teacher, somebody that they have the relationship and trust with to mm-hmm. share that with us, because that is very, very valuable, because that's 1,600 sets of eyes that see things and hear things and know mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And if that can be of assistance to us in maintaining that safe learning environment, that's really valuable. And for those students that aren't as comfortable doing it that way, you know, there's a method of being anonymous too. Mm-hmm. Spring of or fall of 2014, the school district at the high schools rolled out a high school version of the Crime Stoppers, mm-hmm. to which students can, if they see or hear things, they can call up an anonymous tip line, share their what they saw or heard or what their concern is. Mm-hmm. They do it anonymously, but they are given a connection that if that tip does lead to the identification of a safety or security concern, there could be a reward in it as well. But again, it's an anonymous process. Another way for students to be able to reach out to share what they may have seen or know or have a concern about. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're at the time where our program unfortunately has to come to an end. But let me go back to what I said at the beginning of the program. I saw your shout out there that thanked you for all of the things that you've done to work for school safety. And on the basis of our conversation, everybody in this school is part of that shout-out. I know that it's great. It's best when teachers work positively with kids, and they work positively with kids here. It's great when, you know, the security people, the hall assistants, work positively and develop overall good relations. It's good when the police officers do the same thing. And from a student's point of view, I think it's just so important for them that they feel that there are people here that they can trust and that respect them. And you put all that together and you come up with a great learning environment, great teaching environment here at Park High School. I sound like I'm giving a commercial here, but I seriously believe it. And Dennis, I thank you so much for being with us on Education Matters this morning.
Thank you, John. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College, indispensable and in demand. Be that person with an administrative professional degree. Classroom and real-world experience. Learn online or in the classroom. Median starting salary, $31,000. Information at gtc.edu. Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild, staging the comedy One Slight Hitch by Daily Show comedian Lewis Black. A perfect wedding is about to take place until a vagabond ex-boyfriend shows up this weekend and the next two. For tickets, visit racinetheater.org or call 633-4218.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. You're listening to Community Matters, a discussion of important issues facing our communities. The program is co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Troy McDonald, a Gateway marketing student who also serves as a development specialist for WGTD. Now, here's today's host.
And welcome to Community Matters this morning. Jim McClure, along with Nate Bond, the Walworth County Veterans Service Specialist. Nate, enjoy your time back again with Community Matters.
Oh, it's great to be back, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Good to have you back. You actually were on 6 months ago in your capacity as a spokesman for the new owners of the Belfry Theater, which you probably passed today, lined up with Christmas decorations and lights. So that's moving